swear.
Live from Dominican University in San Rafael, California, it's Music Central with DJ King.
Everybody get high.
All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Radio.Dominican.edu here on Music Central, Radio.Dominican.edu. This is DJ King here with DJ Wise, and we have a show here for you guys here. The date is October 17, 2012, Wednesday. Great month, October. It's been a little hot here. I'm waiting for the cold weather, but, you know, it's just going to happen. All right, so here we have a show for you guys tonight. All right, so let's get started. All right, so on March 1st, 1973, 39 years ago, Pink Floyd's eighth studio album was released. The album contained themes of conflict, greed, passage of time, and mental illness. And on the cover, the iconic sleeve cover features a prism that represented the band's stage lighting. That album is Dark Side of the Moon. Arguably the best album ever made, in my opinion the best one, this is one of Pink Floyd's most popular albums, adored by fans and critics, for the past 39 years. Music Central, radio.dominican.edu, let's stop with all this talking here, and let's get down to business. This is Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd, 1973. Let's get started.
Choose your own ground. How you live, how you fly, it's
smiles you'll give and tears you'll cry. And all you touch and all you see is all your life will ever be. Run, rabbit, run. Dig that hole, get the sun. When at last the work is done, round it down, it's time to dig another one. How you live and how you fly, but only if you ride the tide. Balanced on the biggest wave, race towards an early grave.
Central with DJ King.
And we're back. Radio.Dominican.edu. Listening to Dark Side of the Moon, by the way. That album was an immediate success upon its release, topping the Billboard top LPs and tape charts for a week. It remained in the charts for 741 weeks, from 1973 to 1988. 50 million copies sold. It's Pink Floyd's most successful album commercially. And all right, so before we start out actually talking about this album, let's dissect it a bit. You guys heard Speak to Me, Breathe, and On the Run, the first three tracks off Dark Side of the Moon. But before we get into it, let's have a powwow about this. What do you say?
Yeah, let's dissect it, as you said.
All right. So, first of all, what is it about this album that do you think that made it such a huge success? Like,
I mean, that's kind of hard to say. It's Roger's favorite work, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, he wrote most of the material
on
it.
Yeah, he wrote pretty much all of it.
And
yeah.
I think because of that, that's what made it a big success, because he actually took control and said, "Okay,
yeah,
I'm actually gonna."
Wish You Were Here was David and Richard's favorite album.
Oh yeah,
which is kind of weird. I mean, they got more play on that one, but
yeah,
why was this such a commercial success? I don't know. It's good to sit around and roll up a Regno and a piece of paper and do your homework with, I guess. I don't know how to put it lightly.
Just beautiful, though. Beautiful album, though.
It's beautiful. It's got a great cover. You can't really get... I never really thought about it. Why would this be the best album?
It's super weird to be such an amazing or a popular album. I mean, because it
makes sense.
It got extreme. I mean, after this, Pink Floyd got extremely mainstream, I mean,
right,
so to speak.
Right.
I mean, you know, their material isn't, you know, the pop that was out at the time, but
right,
it was their mainstream stuff. All right, so like I said earlier, let's dissect this. So you guys heard the first track was "Speak to Me," and it's, instead of a track, it's more of like an overture. Drummer Nick Mason received a rare solo writing credit, and he combined all the tape effects and tape loops. That's why he was credited to that. Like the heartbeat, the clock's ticking heard in time, the manic laughter of Peter Watts, Pink Floyd's road manager, cash register for money, helicopter noise from On the Run, vocals from The Great Gig in the Sky, and the backwards piano chord was by Richard Wright. Afterwards, Breathe comes in. David Gilmour played the lush electric guitar with a uni vibe and lap steel guitar. On the Run is interesting, though. That is the track right after Breathe. The piece was created by an 8-note sequence, and it was put into a Synthi AKS synthesizer. Hear for yourself.
The Synthi A, which had a little built-in keyboard, and it had a sequence. It was the first sequencer, I think.
I just plugged this up and started playing one sequence on it, and Roger immediately pricked up his ears and thought that sounded good, and came out and we started mucking with it together, and he put in a new sequence of notes, and it all developed out of that.
A series of notes played in slowly, triggering a noise generator and oscillators, and then just speeded up, you know.
Now you've got it, basically.
All right, so what you guys just heard there is from a documentary, a great documentary, by the way, and I think it's on Netflix for instant watch, The Making of the Dark Side of the Moon. That was Roger Waters and David Gilmour. David Gilmour is the lead guitarist of Pink Floyd, and Roger is the writer and main bass guitarist for the band. And what you heard there is Roger, he had in front of him a couple keyboards and a soundboard, kind of similar to the one we have here at the studio. He had basic notes, like I said earlier, 8 notes that, you know, played slowly, just sounds like beep, 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 and then speed it up, and then there you have On the Run. Here on radio.dominican.edu, this is Music Central. You're listening to Dark Side of the Moon. Let's go over to time.
Thank you.
And we're back. Claire Torrey, Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd, 1973, packaged with time. Music Central, radio.dominican.edu. Dark Side of the Moon. I remember first listening to that album a couple years back. I think it was my sophomore year of high school. I know, it's. I mean, I love this album so much, and it took me that long to realize the amazing, the amazingness of it. So I put on my headphones, started with Speak to Me, sorry. Ended it with Eclipse, took off my headphones, and I was in awe. It was such an amazing album. What about you, Will? When was the first time you heard it?
Not till really late in the game as well.
Yeah.
It happens, though.
As long as my favorite artist isn't like Carly Rae Jepsen right now, I think it's all right.
I mean, she did have the hit of the summer, but I get what you're saying. No, I was pretty late in the game, but as with most things, puberty and all that, but still waiting on that one. But no, it kind of hit me the same way. It was big and it was powerful, yeah.
It was just...
How do you put it into words?
I kind of have myself on the spot here thinking about the first time I heard it. I mean, honestly, I was just so amazed by the amazingness of it. And I think it's because the album is, I mean, the version I had was nice and crisp.
Yeah.
The sound was crisp. Like Pink Floyd, what's great about Pink Floyd is that they, especially their later work, it's really polished.
Yeah, it's really clean and it's really well put together.
It's really nice to listen to. Second of all, the instrumentation. David Gilmour's guitar solo.
He kept getting
better,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He kept getting better. All of them kept getting really better. And I think Dark Side is kind of an indication of that. I think that was their, when they started to really peak and they all kind of came together. That's when they sort of really blended together.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Just real collaboration here on this album, and every rock star artist and group have that one album where they just put all their heads together and finally made something that was worth it.
I think The Wall was more Roger, and he wanted to make it more about himself.
Him.
Like, like, there's a wall between me and the crowd.
Yeah,
and you're like, Roger, calm down. And then eventually when
When
Dark Side came out, it was not only the band, but lots of other people, and then just a big explosion of different. So not only was the band coming together, but they were also branching out into different art forms. You had
their beginnings was their like psychedelic acid stuff.
Exactly.
And then their middle-ish before Dark Side was
kind of.
Yeah, like poppy and instrumental and kind of super extremely experimental. And then finally Dark Side.
Right.
Just they got it. Instant success after that. They did not even expect instant success.
How did they not expect that? Or were they like, no?
It's like, because it was just like going to work. Like
they were just like, yep, another album, guys.
Another album. Like,
let's go home.
40, like, yeah.
Then they wake up the next morning and there's helicopters flying around the house, and they're all freaking out. And
they all got mansions.
David,
after
me.
That. Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, I bet.
There you go. So, simple English living.
I bet Roger finally got that gold-plated toilet seat he always wanted. And
he's always wanted that for Christmas.
Now my butt cheeks are going to pube in style. They didn't deserve that.
Speaking of him, the bassist, Roger, got the idea of Dark Side of the Moon when he realized that he was no longer preparing for anything in life. He described this realization taking place between the ages of 28 and 29. Each clock at the beginning of time was recorded separately in an antique store. But great song. About.com put that guitar solo as number 21 on their list of greatest guitar solos.
Oh, yeah.
And Will, as a guitarist, do you look to this song as inspiration or?
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to play it?
Gilmour has put a lot. No, I've only done Another Brick in the Wall and Money.
Oh, nice.
I'm not that good, so fair enough for me. But I think Gilmour's quoted a lot, right? What number is he? I can't remember, but he's like
I
think Money is like at least in the top 10 greatest souls of all time. And so he has a lot of top solos,
and
which is crazy.
And then number two is Comfortably Numb.
Exactly. Yeah.
So there's that.
as a guitarist, he's amazing. He's really good at expressing the notes, and he's really good at you obviously can tell he comes from a very blues, maybe somewhat R&B background, and with everyone in Pink Floyd, as well as jazz, which is kind of cool. He's really good at expressing notes. He'll do these bends where he'll bend it, and then you'd expect someone to come down or maybe mute the string.
Yeah.
Whereas he bends it, and then he'll go up another half step. So he'll go, like the singer almost you heard in that last song. And then do like a vibrato at it. That's where he adds a vibrato. That's something that I never heard in a guitarist. Someone doing that bend to go up a step, and then going up another half step, just going that's the one thing that I really love about Dave Gilmour, is he's really good at making the notes really expressive. Like B.B. King would do that a lot. He would make the notes really expressed, and so would Jimmy. So yeah,
good old Jimmy.
Oh, we'll be talking about him. Don't you worry. You stay tuned.
He's coming up. We got a couple more shows. So back to Dark Side. Great Gig in the Sky. That was the one you guys heard with the woman singing. The song came from a chord progression known as the Mortality Sequence, or the Religion Song. Originally, the song was going to be an instrumental with Pink Floyd sounds like spoken word samples, like the ones you hear throughout the album, and NASA astronauts and other space noises. But then a couple of weeks before the album was due to be finished, the band decided, hey, let's get a female singer. And they did it. Check it out.
No idea whose idea it was to get somebody, a female singer in, but Alan Parsons knew Claire Torian had been working with her and said, why don't you try her?
She just went in there and improvised over it. Yeah, that was amazing. That was fantastic. That was done while we were mixing.
We knew what we wanted, not exactly musically, but we knew that we wanted someone to just improvise over this piece. So we directed her. We said, well, think about death, think about horror, think whatever, and just go and sing. And my memory is that she went out in the studio and did it very, very quickly, and then came back in and said, I'm really sorry about this, very embarrassed. And we, in fact, were sitting in the studio saying, this is wonderful.
Doesn't she have an amazing voice?
She does.
That's Claire Torrey for you, Great Gig in the Sky. We're going to be continuing on this Dark Side of the Moon train. Next stop, Money. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Music Central, Dark Side of the Moon Night. Money and Us and Them, what else could you want? Great Gig in the Sky and Time. On the Run, Breathe and Speak to Me All from Dark Side of the Moon, 1973, Pink Floyd. Money, the only song on the album to enter the top 20 on the Billboard Hot 100. The song is very strange. It's in a 7-4 time and then switches to 4-4 during the guitar solo. But of course, another amazing song. I've played this song, actually, a very stripped-down version, but I actually played it on the drums and with my brother Chris on the guitar. And it was great. Have you, I mean, actually, you told me earlier in the program that you've attempted to play Money.
Yeah.
Yeah, on guitar.
Yeah.
And it's very hard. How is that?
It's hard.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, I can
it's
imagine.
It's not terribly easy, but...
Same thing with the drumming, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's not terribly hard, but it's not terribly easy. That's the cool thing about Pink Floyd is they're not they're not Rush. They're not going to go out and make you feel like an idiot. They're not.
And they're not Zeppelin.
They're not Zeppelin. Yeah, exactly.
Which
they're
is
not.
Like... That's something else.
Stop it. Slow down.
Yeah, like stop being amazing at everything.
The cool thing about Gilmore and Mason are that, especially Gilmore, he's kind of slow. Like he's not terribly fast. He's not.
He doesn't do the Van Halen solo.
He's not speeding through with technique. He's more just going for rhythm and.
But
just
has
tone.
The hard notes to play. I mean, I don't play guitar, but I can imagine he has like some. Hard sequences and notes.
Yeah, he does some cool stuff. He does. He makes some really cool like progressions. He does he'll go down different hand positions. It's cool. I think he paved the way for some guitarist. I'd like to think so.
Oh yeah. I mean, Pink Floyd itself paved paved the way for
that's true.
For musicians. And then for this era of the progressive genre.
Yeah.
But in the case of David, I'm sure that a lot of a lot of guitarists at the time, famous or not, looked at their guitar playing and tried to do what David was doing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Who was around at the time? We have Eric Clapton who was around. 73 Zeppelin was like at their height. That was when House of the Holy came out.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're
talking about guitar players? You had Jeff Beck, too, as well.
Oh, yeah,
he was still,
Jeff Beck. And this
he was still moving and grooving.
And
yeah.
This was just 3 years after Jimmy's death.
It was, 3 years after Jimmy's unfortunate death. There were still lots of great guitarists out back then, but...
But David's like...
But none as progressive. I mean, they all kind of stuck to blues. Jeff Beck was pretty progressive, as was Clapton, I guess. But
you tend to move around.
But the whole band is just pretty
All right. So so Money, Us and Them. Again, another amazing song showcasing Pink Floyd working together. Like we mentioned earlier in the program, this album really had every single member credited, first of all, and doing what they do best. On another note, the album, like you heard in the beginning of the song, Great Gig in the Sky and other ones, has a lot of snippets of people's voices. And how they did this was during recording sessions for the album, Roger Waters recruited both the staff and the temporary occupants of the studio to answer a series of questions printed on flashcards. Questions such as, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite food? When was the last time you were violent? Paul and Linda McCartney also got interviewed as well. However, they were cut out of the album because they were, quote unquote, trying to be too funny or trying hard to be funny. Like Paul just cracking jokes. Like
Paul, you're not the funny one. You know that.
Yeah, he wants to be.
He wants so bad to be the funny one.
Tell me how you do it, Ringo.
Nah.
But, I mean, that would have been cool to hear Paul, but I think in the end, having a cameo like that, would have made the album, like...
Just having that little snippet of information is cool enough, I think.
Yeah, it's cool enough, and I like how all the voices are people I've never heard of.
Yeah, that's cool.
So it gives it a,
Your dad is in it somehow.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. But yeah, it was great. Great album, great stuff. And we're approaching our end of the program here tonight with Dark Side of the Moon. Hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. And if you haven't heard it yet, that's insane.
What are you doing?
What are you doing with your life?
Why are you even listening to our radio show?
But all in all, a masterpiece, a gemstone, Pink Floyd's magnum opus, if you will. And Dark Side has earned its place in history, I think.
Yes, it's a true masterpiece of...
Of work,
of highly composed avant-garde musicians. I don't
know. All right, so we leave you with that. Last three songs here on Dark Side of the Moon. Have a nice night.
In the hall, The lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their folded faces to the floor. And every day the paper boy brings more. And if the dam breaks open many years too soon, and if there is no room upon the hill, and if your head explodes, the dark foreboding's too, I'll see you on the dark side of the moon. Is in my head. The lunatic is in my head. You raise the blade, you make the change, you rearrange me till I'm sane. You lock the door, throw away the key. There's someone in my head, but it's not me. And if the cloud bursts thunder in your ear, you shout and no one seems to hear. And if the band you're in starts playing different tunes, I'll see you on the dark side of the moon.
Dark side in the moon, really. Matter of fact, it's all dark.